Thank you very much, and good morning. Today, I'm going to propose a new hypothesis to explain the evolution of new sociality in termites. The hypothesis is diets with very high carbon nitrogen ratios have triggered and driven the evolution of altruism in termites. What does that mean? If you look at the elemental composition of termite tissues, nitrogen constitutes more than 10% of them, and its carbon nitrogen ratio is about 4 to 7. On the other hand, if you look at their resources, mainly dead plant material, it is very poor in nitrogen, and its carbon nitrogen ratio is as high as several hundreds. So there is a large gap between the CN ratios of termite tissues and their resources. This means that even if termites use all available nitrogen to reproduce, excess carbon still remains, and this excess carbon is useless for producing offspring. But they can still use it to increase their inclusive fitness. That is, they can use it as energy for any carbon-intensive altruistic activities that require little nitrogen, such as grooming, tending, nest construction, and nest maintenance. Davidson, 1997, studying tropical ants, found that excess carbon increases the aggressiveness of tropical ants and contributes to colony fitness. With a similar logic, we hypothesized that excess carbon provided termites with energy surplus for social activities and promoted the evolution of eusociality in termites. In this study, we constructed two kin selection models. The first model does not consider the diet CN ratio explicitly, while model 2 does. Through the analysis and comparison of the models, we investigated the effect of the diet CN ratio on the evolution of altruism. So let me introduce model 1 first. Model 1 assumes in each colony there are king and queen and two broods different in age, where the older brood is the actor of altruistic activities and the younger brood is the recipient. And the actor can allocate a fixed amount of resources to altruistic activities and selfish reproduction. Here, T is the amount of resource and X is the investment in altruistic activities and Y is the investment in selfish reproduction. Obviously, X plus Y must be smaller than T because the investment cannot be larger than the budget. And the actor optimizes X and Y to maximize its inclusive fitness, which is given by BX R plus CY, where the first term is the indirect part of the inclusive fitness, which is the product of the relatedness R and the benefit to recipient. And the benefit to recipient is assumed to be proportional to the investment in altruistic activities X with the proportional constant B. On the other hand, the second term is the direct part of the inclusive fitness, which is proportional to the investment in selfish reproduction Y with the proportional constant C. And of course, X and Y must satisfy this inequality because of the resource constraint. And this is a result of model 1. In this model, a single quantity BR over C determines the optimal strategy completely. We call this quantity the kin selection strength. The result is, if the kin selection strength is larger than 1, then the optimal strategy is to allocate all the resources to altruistic activities. On the other hand, if the kin selection strength is smaller than 1, the optimal strategy is to allocate all the resources to selfish reproduction. Importantly, this condition for the evolution of altruism is exactly the same as very famous Hamilton's rule. And let me go to the model 2. The basic assumptions of model 2 are the same as model 1. However, here, we consider the resource CN ratio explicitly. T TC is the amount of carbon and TN is amount of nitrogen in the resource. And we assume altruistic activities and selfish reproduction require carbon and nitrogen in different ratios, which are denoted by H and K. Here, specific notation is not important, but important is first, altruistic activities require carbon in a higher ratio than selfish reproduction, which means that H is larger than K. And second, the resource constraint is now described by two inequalities because there are two different kinds of resources in this model. And the actor optimizes X and Y to maximize its inclusive fitness as before. And this is a result of model two. In this model, the optimal strategy is determined by the kin selection strength and the diet-CN ratio. If the kin selection is very strong in the positive direction, which means that BR over C is much higher than 1, in this case, the optimal strategy is to allocate all the resources to altruistic activities and independent of the diet-CN ratio. On the other hand, when the kin selection is very strong in the negative direction, which means that BR over C is much lower than 1, in this case, the optimal strategy is to allocate all the resources to selfish reproduction and, again, independent of the diet-CN ratio. And there's a zone between where the kin selection is weak and BR over C is about 1. Here, the optimal allocation to altruistic activities included with the diet-CN ratio. And remember that the kin selection strength of 1 is the threshold of the evolution of evolution of altruism in model 1. So model 2 predicts that around the threshold, the kin selection strength is no more important, but instead, the diet-CN ratio plays an important role in determining the optimal strategy. To conclude, the kin selection strength is an important determinant of the evolution of altruism as shown in both models 1 and 2. However, when the kin selection is not very strong, high diet-CN ratios can strongly promote the evolution of altruism as shown in model 2. And based on this result, we consider that the elevated CN ratio of diet may have driven the evolution of altruism in termites. And I'd like to finish my talk with an interesting remark on the relationship between the proportion of soldiers and the diet-CN ratio. It is known that the CN ratio of dead plant material is negatively correlated with the degree of decay. And interestingly, the soldier proportion in termites is also negatively correlated with the degree of decay in their resources, in their diets. For example, wood feeding species like Coptotermes have a large number of soldiers, while many of soil feeding species like Anopheltermes are soldierless. So as a result, there's a positive correlation between the diet-CN ratio and soldier proportion. We think this supports our theory because the soldier is a permanently sterile cast and can be regarded as an extreme case of altruistic activities. And recently, we extended our model to describe the evolution of soldier proportion. And indeed, the model predicts that the optimal soldier proportion included with the diet-CN ratio. And of course, in order to test our theory, we need more precise data about the relationship between the diet-CN ratio and the social structure in termites or other organisms. But so, we hope more empirical data will be available in the future to test our theory. Thank you very much. And any questions and comments?
Separate parentage, and they all live together, and they help each other, and selective, and things like that.
two different, sorry.
There are two totally separate unrelated colonies merged together, lived together in unison. So would that model hold?
Yes, of course. And so that kind of situation should be reflected in the value of relatedness R, for example, or the kin selection strongest.
So even if relatedness is zero?
Yeah.
What do you think about the possibility that phylogeny is more important? Because, I mean, there are groups that have extraordinarily low soldiers, like Calyx emitids. There's only a one or two per colony.
Mm-hmm.
They're pure wood feeders. Then there's things like the pseudotermes that eat a wide range of things and always have huge numbers of soldiers, mm-hmm. irrespective mm-hmm. of diet choice.
Yeah. So, this is, so as model to show, not only the resource CN ratio, but also the kin selection strength is very important. So, in this model of soldier proportion, we included such an effect, and we can predict the soldier proportion even in such a situation. And so, yeah, sorry. Yeah, but the shape of the this line depends on the detailed assumption. So this is just for a specific case. This shape is just for a specific case. So if you change the detailed assumption, you will obtain a different kind of shape.
Thank you
very much.